Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook. I'm joined today by John Herman, U.S. Trade Strategist for MUFG. It's Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, John. Great to be with you.
Great to have you. Big day today. Joe Biden was inaugurated as America's 46th president earlier. Congress recently passed legislation for about $900 billion fiscal stimulus that President Trump signed into law, a few weeks ago. I guess my question is, we just had $900 billion stimulus passed. We had quite a bit of stimulus passed last year. I believe President Biden has plans for some pretty sizable stimulus. Is this stimulus warranted? Or do we run a risk of overstimulating the economy here?
Right. So, we're going to try to tackle this question in a apolitical way. So, our view is that, and we've held this view since way back in April, May, June, was that we were hoping to see a consistently and persistently activist and aggressive path for policymakers, both monetary policymakers and the fiscal policy. So we stumbled fiscal policy-wise last summer, at the end of last summer, and we didn't pass any new programs as various things were expiring from PPP and the like and so on. And we did not, and so we did get that patch at the end of last year, the $906 billion signed, the last few days of the year 2020. We got that patch. But in our models, if we just look at things economically and leave all the politics aside, we still see the need for a very substantial and aggressive fiscal program for this year, in addition to the Fed continuing to buy about $120 billion per month through year end. We think towards the end of this year, the Fed will make a taper announcement. We think the bond market is going to trade as though, in advance of that and steepen the curve consistently in advance of the official announcement from the Fed, as we've said before on numerous occasions. But on the fiscal side, what we would just tell people to think about is this. If you look, and we put some of that in our latest charts and so on, and we'll put a dedicated piece out on this. But if you would look just, for example, at the labor force, on a year-over-year basis, it's down almost 4 million people from the peak in February of 2020. But if you look on an average annual basis and looked at the year-over-year comparisons, we're down just about 3 million people from where we were in 2019. So the 2020 average, that is the biggest absolute total decline in the labor force since 1945. We haven't seen anything like this. And in any recession, anything, the Korean War, this or that, we've seen nothing like this. And nothing compares to it. We don't want that many people dropping out of the labor force. We don't want that many people defaulting on consumer loans, auto loans, mortgages, and the like. We don't want it because then you set off this negative feedback loop that the government then spends another 1 or 2 or 3 years trying to patch the way Bernanke did in 2010, 11, 12, and 13, and so on. It just becomes you spend like half a decade just trying to patch and fill. So you have this big problem. There is a significant impairment of the labor force right now. Significant number of families. You're talking about, in excess of 3 million people year on year, 3 million families. That's a huge percentage of families. So we need to keep these people in the game. You need to give a direct income transfer to them, like they did $600 per adult under President Trump at the end of the year. And maybe, President Biden can enhance that by another, $1,400 per adult, perhaps. And in addition, augment and enhance the weekly unemployment payments, maintain and continue the pandemic unemployment assistance and so on, until people basically get back to not just, say, having a job back, but a full-time job back. You know, you don't want the Uber guy driving for only, you know, if he was driving 70 hours a week, we don't want them driving only, you know, 30 hours a week and then still needing money to, you know, pay his rent on time. You need to have the economy running at full capacity and or close to it. And you need to do these kinds of programs to promote the recovery and intensify it so that we basically heal the labor force and we heal the job market. And in our models, we're going to come very close to that over the coming 12 months, but over the 12 months after that, we will fully be back in every full sense, in a sense of the work week completely restored, you know, the number of payrolls completely recovered. The unemployment rate in our models at that time is going to be 3%, not 3.5% like it was pre-pandemic. It's going to be 3%, 2.9% at that time. So unemployment rate is going to be tremendously recovered. So that's the kind of thing that we need to see. At that point, you can, as Chair Powell says, you know, then you're done. You can just, you know, pull back on your programs and so on, let the tax revenues come in, pay for many of these programs and so on and the like. And so that's the way we see it. We see, you know, this, it's trying to heal, still make the progress in healing and make and doing it as rapidly as possible, because all of the theory in academia, and it's borne out in the data, by the way, of, you know, when people get impaired on the labor force and they're out for 12 to 24 months or 30 months, or something, they ultimately lose connections to the labor force and then they get separated from the labor force and then they don't get their jobs back and they don't really return to the labor force. And then our long-term costs of the government, those long-term obligations just pick up and pick up and pick up. And that's just not a healthy environment. It's not a healthy thing for the country. It's not a healthy thing for the government. It's not a healthy thing for these families, these individuals, and their communities. So we need to do more. And we think President Biden is on board that, and we think Janet Yellen's on board that. So we expect to see the push. And the American people voted narrowly, not overwhelmingly, but narrowly for additional assistance. So we hope we get it. And in our models, if we do, people are going to be really happy with what they see out of GDP for the next 24 months and more, and what they're going to see on the payrolls and the unemployment rate number for the next 24 months. People are going to be really, really happy, regardless of your political affiliation. It's going to be really, really remarkable. Remarkable recovery we see coming. Still amazing.
Well, let's flesh out that more medium-term growth path a little bit. I think you've conveyed a pretty convincing argument about the need for additional fiscal stimulus, you know, despite having quite a bit in train at this point. You know, so how does 2020 look? 2021 seems likely it'll have a lot of momentum at the end of the year. What do you see for 2022? You know, how strong of a year might that be? I mean, is it the kind of thing where we're in a self-sustaining, you know, virtuous, you know, recovery, if you will?
The answer to that would be yes. So if you just look at our numbers versus the street. So again, you know, we all know last year we were looking for much stronger growth than what the, and we're getting numbers that fit with that. First, for the year 2021, our numbers year on year basis are, we're looking for 5.6% GDP growth, 5.6. The Fed is at 4.2. Okay. The Fed is at 4.2. And I'm looking right now at the latest real time number from consensus. Consensus is now 3.9. So consensus was 3.5, super low for this year. Now the consensus is 3.9. The Fed is 4.2, and we are 5.6. Our models are 5.6 for this year. For next year, in 2022, the Fed is at 3.2. We are just about 4%. So we're 80 basis points over the Fed for 2022. Again, a very strong year. We're looking at just about 4%, 3.99%. So that's 4%. And the consensus is lower than the Fed. So that's the, you know, in our models, you give the economy a big push this year, and we're expecting not just this, you know, something close to this $1.9 trillion program that Mr. Biden's discussing now. Maybe it comes out 1.5, 1.6, but that would be very, very good. But we're expecting, you know, if it comes out like 1.5, 1.6, we think there's a chance we get another $700 billion stimulus around midsummer and of this year, in 2021, in which case the GDP recovery is going to be extremely durable and it'll be virtuous and self-reinforcing, and it's going to be really strong because we had, as we've highlighted before, we have five sub-cycles in the economy beyond just fiscal and monetary policy that's pushing the economy. So you got fiscal policy, monetary policy pushing the economy, vaccines, immunization rates picking up over the course of this year, pushing the economy. But then we also have five economic sub-cycles pushing the economy this year. Again, they were consumption with pent-up demand, et cetera, business capex, spending on capex equipment and software. That's a big push. Housing market is in a very inventory cycle, looks to us durable three-year program. And then the last push we're expecting starting mid-year of 2021, starting in 6 months, is a big wave hiring cycle, spending cycle starting in the state and local governments that should last about 2.5 years, maybe 3 years, just happened there. So that's what we're looking for. So that's five economic sub-cycles that are coordinated. And it's rare when you get them all falling together like that. Well, and you also get a big push out of fiscal monetary policy. So that's really, really remarkable. So that we're very pleased. If people just use their imagination, go back 10 years, we had monetary policy, Ben Bernanke doing whatever he could do, but fiscal policy was a little bit under, it was the sequester movement. So we didn't quite have fiscal policy, and the housing cycle wasn't there last decade, if people remember that, and so on and so on. So there were many parts of the economy last decade where the recovery was completely impaired. This time around, we have five subcycles all working, plus fiscal, plus monetary, and now you got the vaccines and immunization. I mean, this is fantastic. So our view is economy starts, continues to repair, and the yield curve should continue to steepen as more and more people, move to our view. And the chair ultimately, Chair Powell ultimately signals, towards the end of the year, early part of next year, he's ready to taper. He's pleased with the progress, he's ready to taper.
Got it. As we kind of talked about last week, it's a little bit terrifying if you're a fixed income investor. Right. Let's flesh that out a little bit. What does all this mean for the term structure of rates, for the curve? You've been a strong proponent for a steeper yield curve. You recently increased your target on 2-30s yield curve from 207 to 219. Clearly you've been emboldened in that trade. Tell us a little bit more.
So as every quarter goes by this year, people are going to see a host of improvement in the economy, in the health conditions, in the immunization rates, et cetera. And you'll see more risk taking. And we still see it now. I mean, we're not fully recovered in GDP, and yet the housing market is more than fully recovered. It's just amazing. We're seeing a lot of amazing things, and we see, and yet, the interest rates are still going to be, the Fed funds policy is still going to be at 0% this coming year, 2021, 2022. So how does that hurt the housing market? It doesn't. 2023, we have a rate hike in 2023, but we're sort of the outlier there. But, there's many things that are really working that just over time will encourage people to move out and move into sort of our view. But it's not the unanimous view, even at this point. And if you look at the forward markets have made a big move since August. They've gone from, expecting over the next 2 to 3 years, the bond not rising above 1.45% to suddenly saying, okay, the bond yield get to 2%. But we're saying, no, okay, fine, that's good. You acknowledge that. But our models are saying the bond's going to get to 2.5 to 2.6% in that range over the coming 18 months. You're not there yet. The forward markets are nowhere near there yet. And we got the 10-year yield going to 2.1% to 2.2. The forward markets are nowhere near that. So we still see the case where the 2s10s and the 2s30s curve is going to continue to steepen. And at some point, over the course of maybe the second quarter or something, where the economy starts to really pop and starts to move, at some point we think you hit a level in the 10-year note, for example, in the yield for the 10-year note, where suddenly, mortgage convexity selling shows up. And then you get kind of a rapid steepening then. So the steepener, you know, we think it's here for this year. People should prepare for it and so on. And we know it puts people out of their comfort zone to adopt this view and so on. But we're giving as much warning as we can on this one for as long as we've been doing it. And, you know, we've had some faster money accounts love the trade, and we've had some accounts really kind of fearful of it. But we would say, you know, just be thinking that way. And then, you know, you probably will get to levels in 10s and 30s and so on, where you then would say, wow, okay, this is now a good time to buy on a, you know, on a risk reward basis. This is a good time to buy. And you could actually, I could see a point in, you know, 18 to 24 months where you could say, wow, I might want to put on a flattener now. So, but, you know, curve steepens, we think, you know, pretty significantly over the next 12 to 15 to 18 months. We see a big, you know, pretty steepening move here.
Well, that's a pretty compelling argument, John. And to our listeners, for more, I'd encourage you to check out John Herman's year ahead strategy piece, which came out last Friday, and is also included in the MUFG Global Markets Monthly for January that was published on Tuesday the 19th. So great stuff as always, John. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John. Great to be with you.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.